Hey, so I don't own any Macs anymore.
You don't own anything?
I do not own a single Macintosh computer. Nothing that currently runs macOS. Technically, I have something in my closet that could run macOS, but it does not.
I have a lot of I have so many questions with what you're telling me here.
Okay, so let's back up.
What did you have before? You had a couple Macs, didn't you?
Yeah, so my personal Macs, I'm not talking about anything work-related or anything okay. like that. So my personal computers, and when I say work-related, I mean my day job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not including any of that stuff. My personal computers, I had a Mac Mini that was a server. It was running macOS server. It was a Plex server, a file server, SSH, VPN, a couple of other things that not really that big of a
okay.
deal. That is gone. We talked a little bit last time about me feeling overwhelmed about all these different projects mm-hmm. and like random stuff I had going on. And so that guy is gone. I was really sick and tired of managing that. The biggest thing that kind of bums me out is I don't have something that I can just like send files to. So from my iPad, like if I'm finished with a video or something like that, I had SFTP on, so I could take a file from my iPad, and it was just local SFTP, not like you couldn't get it outside my network. I'd send a file to it that would go straight into the Dropbox folder, and Dropbox would upload it.
Okay.
Because Dropbox on iOS kind of sucks, and you have to leave the file, the app open in order for it to upload a big
mm-hmm.
file.
Mm-hmm.
It'll stop midway, and it's really rather annoying.
Before we go any further, with that in mind, are you not uploading your videos in 4K anymore? Like, how are you doing that now?
I was looking at my stats and my numbers, and about 80% of my views come from phones and tablets.
Oh, okay.
And phones and tablets don't even have 4K support in YouTube. So I'm like, well, does that really matter? And then if you look at the iPad resolution screen, like it's not 4K, so it doesn't really matter there. In fact, it's probably making it worse if I do it in 4K there, even though I kind of like shrink it and put this border mm-hmm. around it. 1080p for what I do is fine.
Okay.
It's not some cinematic thing. I'm not Francis Ford Coppola. It doesn't matter. Like it really doesn't matter at the end of
right.
the world. So the Mac Mini server is gone. The thing that I kind of other thing I miss it for is Plex. I had all my movies ripped and stuff, and it was just really convenient. I still have all those Blu-ray discs there, and I have a Blu-ray player somewhere, so if I really wanted to watch them, I can. Mm-hmm. But lately, honestly, I've just been buying movies through iTunes. It's so much simpler, so much easier. So Mac Mini server is gone. My other Mac was a MacBook Pro, and I bought that. I actually bought it, I think that was the 2014 model, so I bought it a year before the iPad Pros came
okay.
out. And I bought that because my 2009 MacBook Pro had gone out, so that had lasted me quite a mm-hmm. while. And it was Retina, it was all the fun stuff, great. It was fine, but I didn't use it because I use my iPad. So it was kind of sitting in my desk drawer, just collecting dust. I'd pull it out every once in a while when I wanted to work on something in Xcode, like my app. But it wasn't frequent enough that I was actually getting anything done with it that was substantive. Mm-hmm. So that's gone. I didn't need that. I also got rid of a couple old iOS devices. I got rid of a Raspberry Pi. I got rid of an old Windows computer. I got rid of so many things. Like, since the last time we recorded, we actually pushed the recording of this episode a week. And I told you it was because I was working, but it was actually because I was cleaning everything out. So technically, it was because I was working. Sorry, I lied to you.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
I just needed a weekend to go through everything
sure.
and clear out all the distractions. And honestly, I feel so much better
yeah.
now. I don't know what it was, but like just having these things that I know it's coming from a very privileged position to, hey, I had a Mac Mini and a MacBook Pro and I could just get rid of them. Like I know it sounds a little narcissistic almost, but like those were holding me down.
Yeah.
Like having those things were holding me down. I read up a lot on minimalism and stuff like that, and it's really, really interesting. And I didn't need those things in my life. So I got rid of them. Long story short, there's a couple of people that could really use some help. So I, you know, it went, they were taken care of. It wasn't, they weren't sold for, you know, profit or anything. Like they were, they were taken care of. Like the, I wanted.
They have new homes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They, yes, exactly. Cool. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I think it's nice. I think it's good for you to do.
Yeah. And I, and I'm not looking for a pat on the back or anything, but I just want to, I recognize it's a very privileged position I'm coming from to have those kinds of things. And I don't want, yeah. Like I didn't just throw them in the trash.
No, no, no. You, first of all, I don't think you ever would have the heart to do that to any kind of Apple product that you, so, I mean, it's nice. I'm glad that you were, I'm glad on many different levels. One, I'm glad that you're less stressed out and happy with like basically clean out your digital computer closet, and organizing things and finding what's important to you and what isn't. And that's something I think more people should do. And in fact, I have had that on my someday maybe list for God knows how long. I've been wanting to do that for a while with a lot of different things.
You should do it when we're done recording.
And it, I'm at my parents' house right now doing some house sitting, but I will at some point. Oh. So, which, by the way, if they sound different, that's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have the new microphone today. This is the first day recording with the new Audio-Technica microphone you sent me.
Cool.
So, yeah, the, hopefully it sounds good.
We'll have to do a side thing with that later. But, yeah, I mean, I'm happy on that. I'm happy that other people got to experience either their first Mac or a better Mac than what they had before or what have you and stuff. So, I mean, it's nice. I mean, you don't, you're not asking for a pat in the back, but I think I'll give you one.
Thank you.
I mean, what kind of, was it the overwhelmingness that you were feeling before that, like, that you did this with, or was there more to it that, like, made you finally pull the trigger and do this?
So I think it was a couple of things. It was the fact that I was feeling overwhelmed and I wasn't getting the work that I wanted to do done. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't getting videos done and stuff like that. And I pretty much the only thing I was getting done was this podcast. And that's because we have a date set for release every other Friday and I have somebody I'm doing it with. It's really easy for me to say, oh, I don't need to do a video right now because I don't have a boss I report to. I don't have somebody telling me, hey, you have to have a video out every week. When I first started, that was, I never said it publicly, but that was my goal to have a video every week. And I'm trying to get back to that now, at least for the rest of the year. And then we'll kind of reassess. I do want to talk about our years at the end of the year, but that's later
on. Sure.
So there's that. So now that I got rid of those things and I don't have these projects sitting in the back of my head thinking, hey, I should get these done some days, those are gone. The other thing too is I needed to take a break and I kept trying to take a break, but it wasn't really a break. I'd sit down and I'd watch a movie, but I'd grab my iPad and I'd sit there with things or drafts or something and try and come up with ideas for videos. And that was not a break. So I bought something. And if you follow me on Twitter, and Jeff, you already know about this because I haven't shut up about it for a week now. I bought a Nintendo Switch, which I know what you're thinking. You just talked about getting rid of everything that was a distraction and another project. What's up with this? So I used to be really into video games. I had the Xbox, PlayStation, whatever. Like we've all played those and stuff like that. But those were huge distractions when I first started getting into videos. In fact, I think I talked about that last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were telling about how you basically got rid of the console stuff because you wanted to focus more on videos and your website and other creative endeavors.
Yes, and I've been talking to a couple people, you and a few others, about like what the Nintendo Switch, you know, has and stuff like that. And I was looking into it. It's A, not that costly, especially compared to like when you get into like this new Xbox and PlayStation and stuff like that. Like, and there's not like a ton of games. And I do want to clarify, I'm not really into like the shoot 'em up games like Call of Duty and whatever the big one is now. I don't know. I don't really follow those. I'm more into very relaxed games. So like right now, you know, I got the Switch, so I've been playing Zelda. And that's probably like the most competitive, like crazy game that I'll probably ever get. You know, I'm looking forward to Pokemon Let's Go come out, or I'm sure an Animal Crossing game is coming soon. I've been playing Stardew Valley, things like that. Things that are very relaxing that allow me to take my brain, shut it off from work and put my focus on something else. Cause like sitting down and watching a movie, that doesn't tie up my hands. That doesn't tie up my brain into solving a puzzle or something like that. Like playing the Switch really does. And one of the things I was worried about is I would want to sit down and play it all day long as soon as I got it. And the first couple of days were like that. Like, I stayed up way too late playing Zelda, and I felt kind of sick almost too, which was weird. I get home from work like a weekday, I'll play like a couple of hours, and then I'll go sit down and start writing a video. Or I will, like this morning, I got up, I went for my run, I went and paid my rent, and I came home, I looked at my Switch, nice. And I went, nah, I should go work on a video. And I worked on a video until it was time for us to start recording this podcast, and now I'm about 80% done with this video, and hopefully I'll have it out today. I think my fear of, like, it would consume all my time, I don't have to worry about that. I think I'm doing a very good job of balancing everything. And honestly, since I've been playing the Switch, I've come up with so many more ideas. Like, I'll just be like, and I guess it's like that part of my brain is still working. Mm-hmm. That part where I'm like thinking out ideas and stuff like that, it's still working, but it's almost like it's in low power mode, and like I'm not stressing about it, I'm not forcing it, and eventually like the ideas do come and they just come out and everything works. And it's I've got some really great ideas, some stuff that I'm working on, and I honestly just feel so much better now. Like I it's so strange. I don't know why. I don't know what's the cause of it, I guess. Like I mean I know what preceded it and stuff, but I don't know, I just feel better now.
That's good. I see a lot of parallels between where you were and where I am. And I'm kind of like, the reason I'm kind of just being a listener and kind of being a little bit quiet when you talk about this kind of thing is just because I'm over here taking mental notes, you know, cause I've been in the same boat. Mm-hmm. I am in the same boat currently. I think that the reason being that you're able to be more productive when you take time off and just kind of shut your brain down for a little while and not have the stressors of like, I need to do a video, I need to get this out, I need to do this, I have to ship this, I have to do this, blah, blah, blah. The stress is gone. And you're able to just kind of let go and let God a little bit and enjoy yourself for a while and basically use your mental RAM for something else. And while you might have some stuff in the cache that's causing you to think more about the video stuff while you're playing your Switch, it's not taking up the full tail of your memory, you know, like you're not using all of your brain to use this. And then that's kind of how you're able to just let the things come through and not have the stressors involved of like, I need to get this out, I need to post this video, I need to get this out because I need to keep a regular schedule with it, I need to do this, I need to do that. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Is that maybe that, I don't know if that's the reasoning behind it, but it's definitely something that I consider being the reason.
So I don't really hold myself to a schedule so much.
But I mean, like, what I mean by that is that, like, you hadn't posted in a while.
Okay.
And that adds, that compounds over time of just like, I haven't done anything in this many weeks, I haven't done anything in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. And you kind of feel this pressure or need, this desire, whatever word you want to use to describe what you feel, to do that and to get those out as soon as possible, because you feel like if you don't, you're going to fall behind or you're not going to progress.
Correct. I think the other big thing too was on that is my whole summer plan was built around the idea of I would have Siri shortcuts to play with. Cause when it was announced at WWDC, I figured, okay, at some point this is going to be in the beta, and it was in the beta. And it was only in the developer beta, which I'm on, but you had to request access to it, and they did it via Test Flight. And Test Flight is limited to, I believe, 10,000 users. So mm-hmm. I didn't get into that, unfortunately. So that was kind of a huge wrench in my plan. And I took that as, well, I don't have anything to do this summer now. And that was really, that was a mistake on my part. Mm-hmm. And I should have really sat down, and I should have been, okay, well, you don't have shortcuts to talk about this summer, so you're going to take a break. You're going to actually relax and not like my half sort of breaks that I've been taking where I've actually been thinking about work in the back of my head. You're going to take a real break and come up with ideas and regroup and things like that. And instead, I was trying to force all these ideas to happen, and I probably produced I have it right here. I produced about 5 other videos that nobody has seen this summer because they weren't very good. Like, I did them and I just didn't have the drive for him then. And I think I was just burnt out. So I think this whole getting rid of everything, kind of cutting back on all my projects, resetting my PRAM kind of thing almost.
I love the analogies that we keep using.
Yeah. It's a way for me to start over. And I'm working on a couple of videos now. I have some really great ideas that I'm really excited for. And I just feel better. And I know you're kind of going through something similar right now. And I'm curious, are you just trying to force it right now? Or are you just taking a break? Or what's going on with you?
Bit of both. A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I feel this tension and pressure to ship things and post things regularly, because I said that I was going to be doing like daily stuff on the site. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, that was something that I wanted to do because I felt that in order to have a continuing readership and grow my audience, which was one of my goals, I needed to show up every day. You know, I needed to put something out there, and that worked for about a week. And then I burnt out, you know, like I my upkeep on myself was not great. My like self-care was not something that I really took as a priority. And it basically just kind of consumed me, you know. You could ask my fiance of like, you know, I have been spending a lot of time in our office area where I write, and like just having nothing coming from it. Like I would basically just, my gas tank was empty basically, you know, like, and I'm not trying to get sympathy. I'm not trying to get any kind of, like pity party. Like I don't want a pity party like that. This is just kind of the facts of the matter. Mm-hmm. And it just was something that was going on where I was like forcing myself to try and come up with something. And then I would hate myself when I couldn't come up with something fast enough. You know, it became this like feedback loop kind of thing where I was just like, you know, you need to come up with something. Otherwise, you're going to lose your readerships, and you're losing your readerships because you haven't come up with anything. Well, I can't come up with anything, so I guess I'm going to lose my readership. Well, you don't want that. Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. And it just became unhealthy.
Yep.
And so I made the choice to basically just take a break. I haven't posted anything since August 22nd at the time of this recording, which is September 1st, not to date this or anything, but I haven't put anything up. I've had a couple of ideas that I've tried to flesh out. They don't work. And I know they don't work, so I'm not going to force myself to do something like that, which I think is half the battle. Not to say that I've done that before, but there have been times where I feel like just get it done and put it out there. But I've been trying not to do that, and I've been trying to focus more on quality over quantity. And it's just a process that I have to work through at this time. I just feel like there's this, I think I need to get out of the mindset of two things. One, posting every day and posting like very, very regularly, like 3-4 times a week. And that was something that I've been trying to do. And the fact of the matter is that like, if I do that, the quality is going to diminish for the sake of quantity. And that's not what I want to do. So I have to get that part out of my head. And the other part of this is, I don't want to say branding, but like the topics in which that I'm allowed to write about on my site. And, you know, we've talked about this at length before, but I think it's worth talking about again, where I started Tablet Habit basically as a way to talk about the iPad and iOS and things along those lines. And it was something that I felt would be great. And then my personal feelings on computing changed, and I bought a MacBook, and I've been using the MacBook regularly as my main device. And, you know, I'm now in the midst of like trying to figure out which one's better. I've been using the iPad for a while now and everything, but like the last couple of weeks I haven't really opened either of them. In fact, like the other day I tried using my iPad and that was dead, so I was like, okay, I'll just use my Mac for this quick thing I have to do, and that was dead. Like both of my devices just died because of battery loss without me using them. Like they depleted completely, and that was how long I hadn't been using them. I'd just been using my phone, and like that's how much of a break I was taking and things like that. But like, to kind of circle back on the main point is that like tablet habit was meant to be for the iPad, and then my outlook changed, and I need to start realizing that it can't, it doesn't have to be just iOS and iPad stuff. It can be other things along those lines as well. And I need to start thinking of that website more as a personal website instead of a branded iPad only website. And that's taking some time to kind of adjust to the things and ideas that I come up with for the site and different things that come with it. And it's just taking some time to get used to. So I think that one thing I do need to do is kind of declutter and stuff. Like the other day, I spent 5 hours deep cleaning my apartment. It's a 2-bedroom apartment. It's not that big, but it was more than needed to kind of deep clean the apartment because I've just been so busy with other things, and I wanted to have a clean place, and I wanted to take care of myself for a little bit. And doing that made my life way better. Like I felt way less stressed because I have a clean home and I don't have to worry about all these extra chores that are piling up. You know, I did everything that I could in my time to clean up and get as much friction out of my life when it comes to the things in my house. And now I think the process is of like going through all of my things and getting rid of the things I don't need and keeping the things that I do. Like that's the next step. It's clean. Now the things that you have, are they worthwhile keeping, or do you want to just get rid of them and either donate them to somebody that will need them, give them to Salvation Army, sell them, throw them away if they're that bad, whatever it is, like it has to be out of the apartment kind of thing. And like, that's what my next step is. And then hopefully in the process of doing that and in making time for myself, I'll be able to come up with more ideas and more things to write about on the site and push more content out regularly. But it's a process, you know? Like, I think I'm rambling a little bit, Chris, so maybe you can throw a net under me and save me a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, so let's tackle a couple of things here. So first off, your website, though it is called Tablet Habit, it is your website. You can write about whatever you want. You can write about how the Barney theme song was super influential in your life. Like,
how do you know my next topic? How did you find this? Are you hacking me?
I'm a hacker. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So anyways, like you
I have to change my password.
Yeah. Now. No, make sure you keep it that 8-character, password, you know, like that password right there. Yeah. Okay. Keep that one right there. Yeah. So it's your website. Write whatever you want. If you feel burnt out, don't feel bad because you don't have anything to write about. Like, this is something I've just had to come to the conclusion of, like, yeah, I want to make a video at least once a week. For a while there, I was doing really good. I had 2 or 3 videos a week for a while. And I just, if you don't have any ideas or if you don't have anything to do, don't force it. And this is something that I'm like realizing right now, like if you force it, it will not be good content. You're not going to lose readers because you're not posting anything. Like, people aren't going to like, well, I'm going to unsubscribe from this RSS feed or Twitter account or whatever because there hasn't been anything posted all week. Like, nobody's going to do that. They're going to wait like 6 months or a year before you do that. Mm-hmm. And even still, like, I'm sure I'm subscribed to websites that haven't posted stuff in a long time and I didn't even realize it. So don't worry about that. The only way you would lose like people subscribing is if you were trying to force it and just were doing really poor stuff. And I'm not saying that you are. Like, you definitely aren't. I really enjoy reading your website. I always enjoy, like, your Workflow Wednesday stuff is some of my favorite stuff. So just don't force it. Like, if it comes to you, great. If it doesn't, go do something else. Take a break. Like, I can't believe, and I'm almost kicking myself now for like how relaxing video games can be. Like, the problem was when I was, you know, when I was doing video games before, I was playing on the Xbox and I was trying to play Fallout and I was trying to play like really like heavy games that just required a ton of your time, a ton of your mental energy. And, you know, fun games like Zelda or Stardew Valley or whatever, like, those are just fun. They're not overwhelming. I can pick them up. I can put them down at any point. They're not that much. So, like, don't – and I'm not saying video games is the same thing for everyone. This is just what I found to work for me. Like, if you have a
– it's a therapeutic way to kind of just – turn off your brain for a while.
Exactly. Like, if you have a hobby, like model trains or something, like, or Legos or whatever, like just go into that. Like, take a break, focus on that for a little while, like take a week, 2 weeks off. Like, I'm kind of just now getting into the swing of things, but I'm not going full 100% back. Like, I'm working on a video today, and right now it's a 3-day weekend in the US. It's Labor Day on Monday. So I'm going to work today. We're going to record this podcast, then I'm going to finish this video that I'm working on, and that's going to be it for me today. I'll probably go work out again tonight, and and I'll probably play video games the rest of the day. Tomorrow, I'm going to take the whole day off. I'm going to go have lunch with my brother and sister-in-law. I'm just going to play some video games, whatever. And then Monday, I'll work on another video. Like, you don't force it to be like, oh, I need to do something every single day, because you're just going to burn out again.
Yeah, learning how to relax is something I think I need to work on. Like, I've said it before, either on this show or my other show. Like, I don't know how to properly relax, you know. Like, I always feel
I've been the same way. Like, and you just have to teach yourself. Like, you have to,
yeah.
And I think it's all about, I would start with trying to find a hobby. Like, maybe I don't know how well of a cook you are. Maybe try cooking. Pick that up. I like food. You can send me food. I mean, we're a little bit too far away. So, I mean, bake some cookies or something. You can send them my way. Like, oh, wait, no, you can't send cookies. I can't eat cookies. Like, just find a hobby, try it, take a break, and ease yourself back in. Don't go full, you know, full pedal to the metal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to do. And it's just a process, and I kind of have to accept that.
Yep. But I do know one thing you could write about. You bought something.
I did. I bought an iPhone 10.
Yes. Don't tweet Jeff. He knows an iPhone event is right around the corner.
I do. And I have reasons of why I got the 10 instead of waiting for the XS or whatever it's going to be called now or whatever.
He texted me before he did it, and I tried to talk him out of it. But he got a really good deal on it, and I do not blame him whatsoever. So, what do you think, Jeff? What do you think of the phone?
I am upset that I didn't get this in the first place when I had the opportunity to get it. Because
thank you.
To give a little bit of a backstory, because you know this, but maybe not everyone else does. I used to have the iPhone 8 Plus, and that phone was great. I loved the screen size of it, but the forehead and the chin was making the footprint of it way too big. Using it one-handed was pretty much not possible for me. And as someone that wants one-handed device, like, that was not there. And it was something that I really wanted back. And it was either I wait and get another phone that comes out soon with, you know, specs that will probably be a little bit better. But, like, I don't care about the CPU power. I'm not building videos with my phone. I'm not doing anything crazy with my, like, the most I'm doing that's, like, probably processor heavy is recording a podcast episode with this if I was recording iOS only, or maybe the occasional, like, using it with Pixelmator or something. Like, I'm not doing graphic intensive stuff. Like, I play a couple of video games here and there, but, like, those are supported for older phones, like, far back, like the 7 are still supported, like the 6 and 7 are still supported with a lot of the games that I play on my phone.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're not crazy. So the better CPU that's going to come with it isn't important to me. The camera on the 10, I think, is beautiful. Front facing camera is great. The camera on the back, I think, is either the same or just a little bit better than the 8 Plus. And I loved the camera on both of those. I don't take a lot of pictures. I'm not a photographer. I don't use my phone for a lot of stuff. Like, I'll take photos like any other Joe Schmo and just take a photo for memory kind of thing and just have them. But I'm not there to take, you know, pictures of mountains or macro photos or like, I don't need to have the best camera in the world because it's not that important to me. And I felt that the deal that I was going to get with the 10, because I'm on Sprint and it's like the iPhone Forever plan, it would just be like $8 more a month than what I was paying before. Like, I'm leasing the phone out and every year I can get a new phone. So I'm keeping the 10 for a year. right before the XS comes out.
I really hope it's not called that.
The 10S or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it won't be, but.
Well, it won't be the XS. It'll be 10S.
It'll be 10S. But yeah, I think that like I don't think I'm going to need the best phone. I use my phone more than any other device, but not for anything crazy intensive. I don't do anything super crazy with it. And I think that the 10 will live for another year on iOS 12 with no problems. And it was a good deal, and I was happy with my decision, and I wanted something that would be more cohesive with the new iOS 12 gestures on the iPad.
Yes. So I have two big questions for you, and we're going to come back to the iPad sure. gestures as my second question. The first okay. question, and the more important question, what color did you get?
Space gray.
Ugh, you chose wrong, my friend. You chose wrong. The white is so good looking on because you get that silver border. We don't have to go into it, but I like the white. The space gray is interesting.
There's a difference between you and I, Chris.
What's that?
And I put a case on my phone.
Oh.
It doesn't matter to me the color, because all I'm going to do is get an Apple case for it, whether it be silicone. I got the leather one this time. I've never had an Apple leather case, which we'll go into more. They're really, really nice. I love them so much. So I just got a black case for my black phone, and it just, they marry well together, and it covers the bump on the camera lens, which I was happy about, because I hate, it makes it flush with the table that I set my phone on, and I don't have to worry about like possibly scratching the lens, even though it's like supposedly like really, really resistant to scratches and things like that. But like, I'm leasing this phone. If I damage it, I have to pay for it out of pocket. So I have to kind of be a little bit more careful than maybe you, Mr. I never have a case. I've never broken a phone. Like I feel like I have to protect it at least a little bit. And I think the Apple leather case is really, really nice. It will also protect it from most drops. And, it feels really good. And I can't wait for like 6 months down the road when it's aged to see how it looks, because I like how it looks now, but I also love the photos of people having a brand new leather case and one that they had for over a year, and like how different they are. And I love that. So
yeah.
I'm excited to keep going with this leather case. But yeah, the color didn't matter to me too much.
Okay. Yeah. The leather cases do look nice with age, but okay, let's get back to the iPad question. So we talked sure. a lot, and you've sent me text messages. I would say probably 4 or 5 text messages through this beta period mm-hmm. about how much mm-hmm. you hate the new gestures on iOS 12. Mm-hmm. And to clarify for those that haven't used iOS 12, so before, when you used to swipe up on the dock in iOS 11 or swipe up from the bottom, it would bring up the dock. Now, if you do a small swipe up, it brings up the dock, and then a medium swipe up, it takes you home, and then a long swipe up, it brings up multitasking. So there's kind of some balance there. What do you think? Because you've had the iPhone X for about a week now. What do you think of these gestures?
I still am apprehensive to them on the iPad, and there's a few reasons why. One, I think the gestures on the iPhone X are perfect. I think they work really well. It was almost little to no learning curve for me to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that like, took me a while is to how to turn my phone off and how to activate Siri. Because you activate Siri by holding the power button. If you want to power the phone off, you hold the power button and the volume up button, which is also the same one. If you just press those two buttons together, it takes a screenshot. So I had to kind of remember how all of those things work. Like, that was the hardest part about the learning curve. The lack of a home button didn't bother me. Face ID has never really been a problem, except for when I want to make a quick change to a song or something while I'm driving, I have to look at my phone, which I'm not a huge fan of, but you know, whatever, I shouldn't be using my phone, I'm driving anyway, so maybe that's just a way to thwart that kind of thing. And I have caught myself thinking about that while I mess with my phone while I'm driving. So it has helped me with that. But with the iPad, man, like, it's not perfect like the iPhone gestures are. Like, I mean, you have more elements than you do with the phone. You have a dock, which, for me, I've had trouble with it, because before, with iOS 11, if you flipped it up, you could go pretty far when just have the dock show up and not have to worry about it. But like with 12, you have 3 different things happening with one gesture, depending on where it is and how far you go and how fast you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is problematic. I've caught myself a couple of times trying to just show my dock real quick to pick up something in my folder, and use it for multitasking, and I just go straight home.
I have a fix for that. So if you swipe up from the bottom, bring up the dock and hold for about a half a second and then release, you'll get the dock and not go home every single time. You just got to hold for that half second, like once you bring it up. Okay. I'm sitting here playing with it, and I couldn't figure out how to put it into words before, but now, like, you just bring it up, hold for a half second, and release, and you'll get the dock every single time.
Okay. Now, how do you do the four-finger gesture now? Because...
The four-finger...
To go home.
Oh, to go home?
You pinch just, four fingers.
I don't do that. You just swipe straight up. To go home, I just swipe straight up. Yeah.
Okay.
Or honestly, I really just hit Command-H. Because I always have a keyboard attached. I'll just hit Command-H or swipe straight up. Mm-hmm. I think the four-finger gestures are still there, right?
Yes, but they do different things in different settings. And I haven't determined like how it chooses which one. Like, it just seems kind of random to me at this point. Maybe someone that's listening can kind of give us clarification. But like, I have done the four-finger pinch to try and go home, and it opens up multitasking. And I have tried to – and I've done it and like I've done it in several different apps – and like sometimes they'll go into multitasking and sometimes they'll go home, and it doesn't do it all the time.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised those gestures are still there.
I feel like there needs to be some sort of line drawn when it comes to these kind of gestures, because like right now it's like I'm playing slots with gestures, you know, like I'm not happy with how things are being taken care of with it. And I know that we're in beta, and I know, and I have filed feedback on it, and I have done everything that you're supposed to do as a beta user that is necessary to kind of have those changes be made. But at the same time, like, it's still an issue to me, and I don't think there's as much consistency with the gestures on the iPad than there are with the iPhone X.
Yeah,
and I'm running iOS 12 on both. Like, I get that they're there, and I will say I love the fact that no matter what device I have, if I swipe from the upper right-hand corner down, I get Control Center on both.
Thank you.
That was something I hated at first, but now that I have the 10, and I'm so used to that now, I do that on my iPad instinctively.
Yep.
Like, that's not an issue to me anymore. Yep. That works fine. As an iPhone 8 user that saw that, I thought that was problematic. I didn't understand how that worked. I didn't like it. And it was just something that was bothering me. But now I understand why they're doing it, because it's going to be a consistent thing. I think with the new phones, that's going to be the only option you have is without the home button. So I think it will be better overall. But there's a transition and learning curve kind of thing where I have to like switch modes and gestures before. Now it's consistent and I understand it and I use it fine and I don't have any issues with it.
I'm very happy with the gestures. I know there was a lot of discussion on Twitter after, you know, the betas and stuff came out. Basically, it seemed like everybody that has an iPhone 10 likes the new gestures. Everybody that doesn't have the iPhone 10 hated the gestures. So it's I think it's just the way Apple's going. And as people get the new phones, they'll kind of come around to it. I hate to say this, but the iPhone SE isn't getting upgraded, so I think those people might hold out for a little bit longer, but I think everybody else come this fall, it sounds like all the gestures will kind of be uniform now. So I think it'll make sense once we see the new devices.
With the iPhone X, because there is no home button, you have that like line to kind of indicate what you're doing. I'm not saying I wish there was a line there, but I will say having the line there on the 10 to kind of see that like, oh, I'm using this as a gesture to go home or open up multitasking, that would be better to have something like that with the iPad to kind of give you a visual cue of like what exactly you're doing.
So there was a leak on one of the betas in that the new iPads that are coming out will have that indicator. But I think the current iPad, since they already have a home button, it doesn't really make sense to have that because it would be taking up screen real estate, whereas the new iPads will be edge to edge. So I think the new ones are supposed to have that, whereas the other ones, they just have the home button. So
sure. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I like I said, I figured that was going to be the case with the new iPads, but with older ones that like, you know, each iPad has their own version of the new OS. Mm-hmm. I think that there should be different things available on different devices when it comes to a piece of hardware that has a button and a piece of hardware that doesn't have a button. That's all I had to say. I mean, I think that there's going to be more coming with this once the event happens and we kind of know where things are. Maybe, who knows? Maybe there's not going to be an iPad in September. Maybe it's not going to be
Don't say that, October, Jeff. But do not say that. I will fire you from this podcast. Do not say that.
I mean, I'm hoping that there is new ones, but, you know, we'll talk about it when it comes.
Well, speaking of new iPads, I have a problem. I don't know what size to get.
we're not going into this. We're doing this.
Yeah. Oh no, it's in the dock. It's in the dock. Oh, in God. Fact, the funny thing is, it's in the dock, but it's in the dock is the wrong thing that I want right now. Because I got tired of changing it every time I'd change my mind. So I've probably texted you, and you kind of got mad at me. So I stopped doing it.
I didn't get mad. I got a little irritated. That's all I'll say. I got a little irritated. But go on. Let's get into this. We're going to talk about it.
I was texting you probably about once a day, and I'm sorry about that. Maybe mm-hmm. more than once a day, asking mm-hmm. so yeah, many questions.
I would say more.
Okay, probably fair enough. Yep. Mm-hmm. Asking what size iPad I should get. I have mm-hmm. gone back and forth on this. I even made a video 2 weeks ago saying what I want on the new iPad, and I thought I had this clear vision and I want the smaller iPad Pro now because this one is just too big and too heavy. I have the 12.9. It's just too much to carry around. It feels like a lunch tray. I know everyone's made that joke already, but it really does. It's so big. It's so heavy. But then I sit down and edit a video or a podcast and I'm like, oh, the screen is so nice. And then somebody I work with has the 10.5 and I'm sat it next to me and I opened up a couple of apps and I'm like, and I kind of sat down and started like writing on it and stuff. And I'm like, this is too cramped. It's too small. So I, mm-hmm. when you, so you've edited a podcast on your iPad, right?
Yeah. I use it pretty often.
Okay. Does it feel cramped to you? Do you feel like you're like, it's too small? Like,
no, I never have that problem. I think that it could be cramped if you have like several tracks, like more than four.
Okay.
But when I'm using it, I always have it on my smart keyboard.
Uh-huh.
Because the keyboard shortcuts are great, and I have my Apple Pencil as an input device to touch on it. Which I think is the same way that you have yours, right?
Yeah. I basically hold the Apple Pencil in one hand, and then I use my other hand to pinch and zoom, basically. Mm-hmm. And It works great. It's fantastic. But yeah. I literally have no idea which iPad to get. And as of right now, the funny thing in our doc is it says Chris is leaning towards the smaller iPad Pro, but I'm actually leaning towards the larger iPad Pro because I'm afraid of how small it is.
What are you doing here?
It's literally, I have no idea what I want. So what I need to start.
You're the most indecisive about one thing I've ever, I understand it. Like I empathize and I understand, but like, good Lord, man. Like, you need to figure this stuff out.
I do not know what I want, and it's driving me bananas. I cannot stop thinking about it. I've priced it out. So, like, if the iPad Pro price range, and I figured, like, it may go plus or minus $100 on either side of where it currently is. I figured if it stays around there, I can afford either or. Like, it's fine. Like, I can get and, like, get the accessories and stuff. So, like, price I'm not so worried about. But it's like, okay, do I want to stick with the big iPad? Is it too much? Like, I can't sit down on the couch. Like, I just work, like, with the – in, like, iPad mode. Like, it doesn't really work. So I think what I need to do is I need to stop worrying about it and just wait for the announcement and wait for them to announce, hey, we made the 12.9-inch iPad Pro smaller but kept the same screen size because bezels, we don't mm-hmm. really need them anymore. And oh, hey, the keyboard, it's better. We made a new keyboard. And oh, by the way, we made a better Apple Pencil. I just need for them to say that. I'm if they don't announce it in September, Jeff, I can't wait a whole month for an October event. Like
sure. I think the biggest problem that you will have if you get the 10.5 over the 12, and this is a big one for you, is using LumaFusion. I've never used LumaFusion. I've never seen the interface of it. I've never had the experience of using LumaFusion, but I have experience with nonlinear editor systems before. And I will say, in events where I'm working on something like a video project, I like to have a bigger monitor. There are times when I was editing video in college where I would have a 13-inch MacBook Pro, but I would connect it to my 24-inch monitor, and that was like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know we're talking about like 11 inches in screen size here, but like percentage wise, like it's going to be, like I think it's going to be a drastic change if you get the 10.5 over the 12 when it comes to editing videos. I mean, just imagine LumaFusion that you have now scaled down, you know, like I think that like what you could do is get a piece of paper, measure out the dimensions of the screen.
Hmm.
And hover it over your 12.9 now, and just like have one corner of the piece of paper connected to one corner of where your screen starts in a corner, and just imagine everything smushed into that piece of paper, and just see if you can actually make that work. Like, is it a big enough difference where you're just like, I can't work with this thing that big, or, you know, just have like a reference thing that you can physically use and touch and hold into the screen of just like, okay, so if I had the 10.5, this would look like this.
Well, I had the 9.7 iPad, the cheap 9.7 iPad for a little while, and that was part of my things I got rid of.
You got rid of that too? You just have one iPad?
Yeah, I just have one iPad now. I told you, I literally have my 12.9-inch iPad Pro, my iPhone 10, my Apple Watch, and like ancillary accessories like stuff I use to record podcasts, videos, AirPods, things like that. Like, yeah. I got rid of it. So it was too small on that 9.7. But here's the thing. The current rumors for the iPads are that the 12.9 screen size will stay the same, but the 10.5 is actually going to go to 11 because they're, instead of like making the bezels just go away and keep the same screen size, they're basically going to stretch the screen out and no more bezels. So,
interesting.
But that's like, 0.5 inches isn't really that much as far as screen size, because that's measured diagonally. So that's really not that much. So I don't think that will make that much of a difference. So like I've gone to Target, I've gone to the Apple Store and stuff and played with it, but unfortunately none of them have LumaFusion loaded up, and I don't really want to put my Apple credentials. I don't even know if I could put my Apple credentials on those machines to download LumaFusion. So
couldn't you go to the App Store and pull up like an interface and make that full screen mode?
Yeah, but like I'm wanting to like poke around in it. It's not so much like what it visually is, but like I just want to feel how cramped it is. The other thing I'm worried about is the 10.5 and what would be the 11 isn't a full size keyboard that comes with it, and I have like big sausage hands, so like I can't. I don't think I'd be very good at typing on that. So the way I'm currently am, despite what our document says, is I'm leaning towards the bigger one. That being said, Jeff, what iPad would you get? Like, I know we've talked before, and you're not really looking to get an iPad. You're pretty happy with your iPad. But if you were going to get an iPad this fall, what would you want to get?
Well, I think it's an apples and oranges kind of comparison, because I don't do video editing. I don't do much podcast editing. I usually use my Mac for that.
Oh, I know. I'm just curious about, like, if you were to get a new iPad, because you sent me a text message, and I kind of want you to admit it out loud. I'm just kind of curious to see what iPad you'd want to get.
It's a toss-up. I think I would probably go with the 10.5.
Oh, that's interesting. My text message say otherwise.
Okay, all right. Like, are we talking about like if someone gives me a bag of money and they say you can buy one of these two?
You are not. Yeah, let's put money aside in this argument. Like, let's just say, hey, Jeff, you just won the lotto. What are you going to do next?
Go to Disneyland. No, I think what I would do is I would probably get the 12.9.
Hey, because the 12.9 is the right way to go, and I solved my issues, right?
Sure.
Yay!
I'm so... Oh, my goodness. Like, the reason I would go with the 12.9 is because I have a 10.5, and the 10.5 iPad Pro is great. And I didn't, like, again, like, it's the same argument like I have with my iPhone 10 that I just got. The 10.5 is going to last another year, at least, if not two, with the hardware that's in it and the things that you get with it. And, like, I can't imagine that they're going to make a new Apple Pencil that is only for the new iPad Pros. So if I wanted to upgrade my Apple Pencil, I would get the new one. I mean, they did that with the crayon, but like, I think it's for, that was a very extenuating circumstance. Yeah. But if they make a consumer Apple Pencil 2, they're going to make it that works with the other iPad Pros too.
No, no. I but to be fair, we have not seen a rumor that there's a new Apple Pencil coming either. So
we haven't seen any rumors for iPads except for a couple of CAD things that came with it.
There's been some leaks and there's some software stuff to totally suggest that there's new iPads coming that are bezel-less. So,
but like what I'm saying is that there's no rumors that it's going to be announced this September.
This is true. Oh man, you're really killing me right now. What if it's not till next year? What if it's not till like next spring? Oh no,
it's
gonna
be October. If it's not September, it's gonna be October. Yeah, there, it's overdue to get new iPads.
Yeah.
But the reason that we get a 12.9, to go kind of back to what we were talking about, is because I have a 10.5 that would be my travel one. I would take that with me, and then I would keep the 12.9 at home, and I could use that for things like editing my podcast, writing, because it would be a full size keyboard, and I would feel better with that keyboard. Not to say that I don't feel good about the 10.5 keyboard that I use. I fly on that thing; it's not a problem to me. I'm very used to it by now. But a full size keyboard would be kind of nice. I think a little bit bigger keyboard would be a welcome thing to my household. But that way I could use both on my desk and my office if I wanted to have the multi-pad lifestyle. Mm. But I have the ability to take one with me and leave the other one at home, and they'll both work pretty much the same. I mean, the only issue I would have is syncing applications and making sure the home screens are the same. But like, I don't keep much on my iPad anyway, so it wouldn't be that hard to do. I'm sure there'd be some workflow things here and there that would be a little bit of a learning curve, but like I've got best of both worlds at that point.
I was thinking about that for a little while of buying both iPads when they come out and kind of just seeing which one would work for me. But that's a lot of money. So, and with iPhones and Apple Watches and possibly AirPods and HomePods, like that's too much. So I think we'll be recording the next time we record will be after the Apple event. So we'll talk about what gets announced, and hopefully iPads are part of that.
Sure. I mean, I have a couple of follow-up questions about this that I kind of want to
talk,
when it comes to getting the new iPad, is it because you just want the new shiny thing, or is there because you're kind of hitting the ceiling with your current iPad?
I'm hitting the ceiling with my current iPad when it comes to my video editing workflow. I need it to be faster. And it's funny because I feel like I'm the only one that ever says I need the iPad to be faster. And not that it's not fast enough, because I shoot everything in 4K and I edit everything in 4K, but I export to 1080 now. This way everything is as crisp and as clean as possible. Every once in a while, I'll hit some limits, and I'm not sure, and it's been happening a lot lately, so I'm not sure if it's iOS 12 beta, I'm not sure if it's LumaFusion, or if it's the iPad's not fast enough right now. But anyways, I would like my iPad to export video faster, I would like it to export podcasts faster, I do want something new and shiny, like that's definitely a part of it. The iPad is my go-to computer. I typically would upgrade computers before, like when I was a Mac person. Not very often. I went from a 2009 MacBook Pro to a 2014 MacBook Pro, and in the middle there, I bought a Mac Mini. Like I really didn't upgrade Macs that often. But iPads just seem—they're a little more affordable. They have better resale value, I think, as far as percentage-wise. So it makes it a little easier to upgrade. And I talk about this. Like, this is, it's not my day job. It's not what pays my bills, but it's stuff I do talk about. I do this podcast and I do videos and stuff, and I'm genuinely interested in this. So I think I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I can afford to upgrade every year if I wanted to, or every other year. So I am excited. I am excited.
So, I mean, because you're kind of hitting that ceiling, that does kind of require a better CPU and GPU, that or like just better specs in general. And that's one reason why. And the other thing I kind of wanted to ask was, do you think that you're going to keep your current one, or are you going to get rid of that and only have the one iPad still?
No, I will get rid of my current one. My current one is already given away to somebody. I told them that they were their computer, their lovely Windows computer took a dive on them, so they're managing until I told them when the new iPads come out, they're welcome to have mine. So,
so with that said, I have an idea of what you could do, and I'm sure you're going to sleep on it, and then you'll text me tomorrow about it. But what I think you should do is get the iPad that you don't want, which is the 10.5, play around with it, and you've got 14 days or 30 days, whatever the return policy is, to take it back.
Yeah.
And just play with it. And if you find things that kind of aren't working to the extent that you want, then take it back and get the big boy.
Yeah, my only fear of that is that the new iPads will come out. They will be supply constrained. Like, they're not just going to be available in stores, so it won't be as easy as, hey, return this and then pick up the other one. So that's my biggest fear, and then I end up getting stuck with the smaller iPad, and I don't want that. I'm going to kind of – I think I'm going to push this out of my mind. This could be something else that I push out of my mind until they announce it, because there's no reason for me to, like, fret over this right now until I see what is actually coming out. Who knows? Maybe they're like not actually doing a 12.9. Maybe they're just going to do one size iPad. I highly doubt that. There's pretty much been leaks and rumors, and it's basically been proven that there's going to be the two sizes. But
you also could have your hand forced where the 10.5 is lower spec than the 12.9, and you want to get a maxed out iPad.
I don't think they would do that. I guess actually technically the 9.7 had the 9.7 inch iPad Pro had less RAM than the 12.9. And RAM, like, iOS is really good about RAM management, but when you do stuff like edit video and stuff like that, you do need to take advantage of more RAM. So I think they actually mentioned this on ATP, like if they made an iPad Pro and they had options to like get more RAM for like $200 more or whatever, I would totally be right there. I'd totally be one of those people that would pay for more RAM in a device and
for sure.
And like a overclocked CPU or something like that. Like absolutely 100%. So, Jeff, do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
We do have something kind of big coming up here in a little bit, Chris. It's going to be after the event, and we're going to be talking about something that's kind of been swirled around a little bit. Do you want to kind of take the helm and just let people know what's going on?
Yes, Jeff convinced me to read GTD. I still can't believe he did that, but he lined up a very special guest for it. So I'm really excited for this. So he's kind of got me all on board on it. So September 22nd, we're going to record that episode. So if we stick to our release schedule, that episode will be released October 5th. So if you're interested in GTD, read along with it. I'll probably be doing the audiobook because I'm a really slow reader, and the audiobook will just work better for me in the long run. So we'll be reading the new revised version, the, what is it, 2014 revised version or something?
The 2015 version, yep. And if you want the audiobook version of it, you can actually sign up for a service called Scribd. It's a lot like Audible, but it doesn't only allow you to use one book a month. You can read as many books as you want, and it's cheaper per month as well.
Interesting.
I don't know how they're doing it, but like you can do a 30-day free trial with them. And if you were to sign up, like when you hear this now and read it before we release the episode, you'll have a full month to read it and have your own feelings on it and then hear what we have to say about it with our guest. So you can sign up for a free month. There's no like affiliate link. This is just me kind of just letting the world know that like there's a way you can get the 2015 version audiobook through Scribd for free, essentially.
So I think that's it for us this time. If you're interested in finding my videos and other work, you can go to theuntitledsite.com and I'll have links to my YouTube channel and all that stuff there. Where can people find you, Jeff?
You can find me over at tablethabit.com or over on Twitter at I am Jeff Perry. I've been pretty active on Twitter while I take this kind of like break from the site, but hopefully I'll have some stuff going on the site soon. But, it'll come when it comes, basically, is what I'm at now. Yep. So, you can find us there. And if you want to get more, or if you want to find the show notes, it's either in your podcast app or you can go to aslabofglass.com and find all the show notes for all of our episodes there. And you can follow us on Twitter at aslabofglass as well. And you can connect with both of us there.
Yep. And if you guys have a minute, we'd both really appreciate it if you guys could go on iTunes or in Overcast and write a review or recommend us. We'd really appreciate it. does really help out the show a lot. We actually just passed 20,000 downloads, so we're really wanting to grow the show. I know this is kind of a personal goal for me, and I'm sure it is for Jeff as well, that we really want to grow the show and reach as many people as possible. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.